Hello and welcome to episode of 323 of the Hooniverse podcast. This is basically our St. Patrick's Day podcast because I don't plan ahead and I don't look at calendars and I'm an idiot and we could have done something a whole lot more fun. But as you get older, St. Patrick's Day gets tougher and tougher to, I'm not going to say care about, but care about.
So celebrate with enthusiasm.
Yeah, yeah. I celebrated for many years. Many a year. Was doing, you know, top of the morning, doing some good stuff. But Ron, how you doing this evening?
I'm well. I don't have many complaints. Cheers.
Cheers.
That looks like a straight up bottle of, I don't know.
Yeah. It's from a brewery called Maine Beer Company. I love that their beer labels are just super simple.
I like that.
It's a real clean aesthetic. And this beer is called Lunch. Okay. It's an IPA. And then in little letters at the bottom, it says, do what's right. You know, it's kind of a cool message. And their beers are delicious. And it's a little touch of the East Coast. And I'm happy to find it in my local place. What are you drinking tonight, sir?
I am drinking Pendleton. I don't know if this is a rye or it's an American whiskey. I think it's made in Hood River, Oregon.
Who?
This was gifted to me by my friend Maria, whose dog I am currently dog sitting. He's going ham in the background. I don't know if anybody can hear it, but I'm sure he'll make an appearance at some point. He's going crazy on his bone right now. But I say it's Maria's dog because it is, but it's the dog that used to be formerly known as Big Squirm that I fostered for a few weeks last year. So I get to dog sit him for a day and glad to have him. But yeah, he's just, we went on a long walk earlier and I thought that would tire him out. Then he had dinner and he's just like puppy energy all
over the floor. Yeah.
Just going ham. So
it's funny when you said there's a dog in the background going ham. I don't know if you can hear him. In my head, I heard the trumpets, the bum, 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 bum. rest in peace, TMX. I don't know why that, but that's one of the greatest openings of a song.
It's gonna give it to you every
boom,
time.
Like the simple slow, and then boom, it just hits, and it's so good. And again, we're starting not with car stuff. We'll get to cars. But like I said, it is, you're listening to this. We're recording the night before St. Patrick's Day. Little inside baseball. We were supposed to have Mr. Tony Angelo on tonight, but he is a good father who has to take care of his children and it wasn't going to work tonight. And we're pushing, but we're saving all the questions from Instagram and Twitter and we appreciate those. But then I didn't want to throw out a request for more questions because there were so many questions because of Mr. TA. So we'll wait and we'll hold on to those. So those will come. He is going to be on. It's not us. It's he's being a parent, which is fine. Yeah. We get it. But I want to kick this off with not car stories. Do you have any good, St. Patrick's Day story? Anything that stands out in your head? Because I have one, but I want to throw it to you first.
Oh my God. I mean, to be completely honest with you, I don't think I remember most St. Patrick's Days that I actually celebrated. I'm pretty sure those ended with Jaeger shots and blackouts and extreme hangovers the next day. But sure. I do remember one, and it must have been when I was like 22 or 23. And I went out with some friends. We went to Tom Bergen's on Fairfax in LA. Get off me. And that was like our bar. Like me and all my friends went to Tom Bergen's regularly. This was probably like our senior or fifth year of USC or my fifth year. Anyhow, went out, got shitty. I remember doing Irish car bombs. And then my friend, who was previously my roommate, but we didn't live together at the time, he and I went home with these two girls, and they were super cute and adorable, whatever. But like, we both had jobs, like we were working, we had to be at work the next day. And of course, my phone dies overnight, and I had some weird ass phone that nobody had a charger for. And like, I'm in one room, and he's in another room. And I got up in the middle of the night, or like in the morning, and I was like trying to find him, like, yo, we gotta go, bro. I gotta go to work. And, he didn't wake up till noon, and I just sat on the couch basically for like 4 hours waiting for him to come out. And then I can't remember if I got fired then. No, I didn't get fired from this job. I was working at a wheel company then, so I didn't get fired, but I definitely got started talking to and a warning. But yeah, it was just like, it was a lose-lose. Got super hammered, hungover, didn't, I mean, we like probably made out or something, but like I definitely slept in this girl's room. And then the next day, like I was like ready to go at 8 o'clock, and I just had like an agonizing 4 hours that I had to just sit and wait while everybody else slept. And I'm just like, you know, anxious that my, I'm losing my job and my livelihood and everything, but,
yes,
clearly ended up being just fine.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay. So a note, I'm not offended by this, but for anyone listening, if you're in an actual Irish bar, or maybe if you're in Ireland, don't call them Irish car bombs. It doesn't go over well.
I don't remember calling them that.
And then you realize it, this is going to sound like a real fucked up analogy, but it would be like someone coming to the US and being like, I'd like, I'm prefacing this by saying, yes. I have never heard anyone do this, but this would be really fucked up. I would like to order one large 9/11. it's a hell of a way to kick off the podcast on my part, and I forced it. I didn't need to force it. And you didn't do anything wrong. And again, yeah, I said, I'm not offended by it. But
I don't remember anybody chastising us or not serving us.
No, I seriously
doubt that anybody in the Irish bar was actually serving, was actually Irish.
We used to order them that way in Boston. So like, it's definitely a US thing to call them that.
What else could we call it? I mean, not that I ever want to order one again.
There is a name. I forget what it's called. There is a name. There is a different name.
I don't even
remember
what it is, to be completely honest with you.
Like, it's the last time I ever Guinness,
had
and then it is
Jägerbomb?
Fuck is it? It's
Guinness. No, it's Jameson.
Jameson, and then there's a third ingredient in there.
Ugh, it's like, as Jameson, if we need anything more in that.
It's funny though, as soon as you drop it, it kind of tastes like chocolate milk, man. That shit goes down real quick.
Was it Bailey's? I don't remember.
Maybe it's not Jameson. Maybe I'm fucking insane.
I don't know.
Dude, I haven't had one in.
God forbid we should use the internet that's readily available to us.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could remember, because there is a name if you wanted to call it not that. And I just cannot remember what it is, because I'm 41 and I haven't had one in probably fucking 20 years. Not 20. 15,
20 or 19 10, for me.
Maybe 10. Wow. What does it say?
Bro, get off me. Stop that. Let's see. Bailey's, Guinness, and Jameson. Yep.
Okay. All right. I wasn't insane. I was right about the Jameson. All right.
Bro, are you serious?
It's not that it coagulates, but it does something kind of gross. That's why you drink it quick. You don't let them sit. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Ex-bartender, still Irish guy. Okay. So, by the way, how was that bar? I've never heard of that bar. Is that like some like SC spot?
No, it wasn't necessarily an SC spot. It was like an LA, like, I don't want to say, not even a local hangout, but it was just like kind of an institution, and it like closed a couple times. And I think they reopened it a few years ago. They just, what's cool about it is that, you know, the regulars there basically get, bro, you got to chill, sit, go over there. The locals, regulars can get three leaf or four leaf clover, whatever the good one is, with their name on it on the wall.
Okay.
And I never reached that status, but a bunch of my friends did. Even one of my good friends, his mom has a clover on the wall. So
and they're still there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're still there, bro. I don't know what to do with you right now. Go lay down.
That's funny, because there's a bar in Huntington Beach that if you got through this list of tequilas, you got your name on the wall. And then if you got through every tequila they sold, which was a lot of them, including some high dollar ones, you would like go on a trip to Cabo or something. And I did enough to get my name on the wall, but then I think they redid the wall or some shit like that. But we'll get to cars for those of you who are like, just talk about cars. And I actually think this podcast is more fun when we deviate, to be totally honest.
Totally.
But St. Patrick's Day story. We were in college And we were this St. Patrick's Day, we went to Newport, Rhode Island. Oh, the crazy part was we could go to Newport, Rhode Island one day, and then we could go to the Boston St. Patrick's Day the next day. So we could double dip. But we went to Newport, Rhode Island, which is kind of a little bit bougie, but also a really fun town. And it's quieter during the season. In the summer, it's like just rich sailing assholes, but still a nice town.
How do you?
So we went to this bar, and the DJ's like, yeah, we get a contest. What? How old was I?
Yeah.
I don't know, 20, 19, I don't fucking know. And we go to this bar, and the DJ's like, all right, I'm going to have a contest. Like, I need three people. And I'm like, oh, fuck it, I'll do it. And it was like me versus like some chick and some other person. And he's like, all right, I'm giving you these like Etch-a-Sketches, and you have to draw something that's like in the theme of St. Patrick's Day. And I'm not an artist. I have no artistic training. I can't draw well, whatever. The power of the Guinness surged through me. And I used to have a photo of this. Somewhere there's still a photo of this in one of our photo albums. I got to find it. Now I will post it on Twitter or Instagram or something. But like it's me holding the Etch-a-Sketch. But so we're like going like, and like the people are jokingly doing the thing. And like my head is down. I am Picasso on this Etch-a-Sketch. I managed to draw, and I'm not exaggerating. I draw, again, this is an Etch-a-Sketch. And it's all clearly legible what I've drawn. They flip the first one. It's like, oh, someone wrote Happy St. Patrick's Day real shittily. And like somebody else tried to draw a shamrock. They get to mine, they flip it, and everybody gets quiet because I've drawn a leprechaun with a shamrock on his hat. He's holding a Guinness, and it says Happy St. Patrick's Day at the bottom. And I was like, what the fuck? And it's clear.
How did you get the detail of a Guinness? Dude,
I don't know, but you could tell because of the shape of the glass, because it's a certain shape, and okay, that's I did it, great. and I won like I won a like some shitty CD.
Sir, pardon me.
Bathroom break.
Give me a second. Yeah, this guy's gonna have to go in. No, not a bathroom break. He just tried to hump my leg. He's gonna have to go in his crate really quick. Come on, dog.
He's feeling St. Patrick's Day energy.
Oh boy, that's a little too much excitement.
Oh, see, that's you gotta roll with the punches. That dog is trying to make his own St. Patrick's Day story.
He's
creating his memories.
I hate to thwart his enjoyment, but he's not fixed yet, and he's got quite the package when he's excited.
Our two foster puppies are both
big boy.
Our two foster puppies are both females, and one of them humps all the time, and I'm like,
really?
And they just got spayed, and she's still humping like crazy, and it makes no sense. All right,
I don't think I've ever experienced that with a female dog.
Yeah, they do it. I don't. They got the freak in them.
Sure.
All right, car shit. Finally, 15 minutes into the podcast, I'm gonna kick it off because I've had a good car week. The first one I'm gonna talk about is I still have it outside. Porsche 911. Targa GTS. Daddy.
PDK?
No.
Oh,
seven speed stick.
Manual.
Stick. El Manuel. So here's the crazy thing. The Targa, the GTS is my favorite trim. The Targa is my favorite body style.
Mm-hmm.
In the GTS trim specifically, the Targa is the worst one. And I don't care because the coupe and the convertible get a few extra suspension elements from the GT3, like some helper springs and a few other things. However, this still gets the turbo brakes, and it's a little bit lower. It gets sport chrono as standard. No, carbons are an option, but it gets the steels as standard that the Turbo S gets, because that doesn't come with carbons as standard either. This has center locks. Nice. This has center locks. But the spec on it is excellent. It's a grayish green with a brown interior.
Yeah.
And it is yummy. It is fucking whoo doggy. And I don't care. There's the weight penalty for the Targa. You know, there's all this shit. And I don't like, I'm not a convertible guy, but Targas, T-tops.
Yeah, not a convertible.
Exactly. Targas and T-tops are my jam, and I am down with it for sure. The gearbox, I've always heard, I think it was the 991s. I think they fixed the gearbox, but I think a lot of people said 991 manuals weren't good, you know, as good as they could be. This gearbox feels great. It's shorter throws because it's the GTS, mm-hmm. which I think it also gets from a higher spec, maybe GT3 or Turbo. I don't even know. I think GT3. So it gets a few niceties, but it's not a monster. It sounds good. It feels good. You know, it's literally the personification of Trading Places when he's like, looking good, Billy Ray, feeling good. You know, it's that is this car. And it is, oh my God, it is super expensive though.
Yeah.
Take a guess on the price tag. It's a GTS. Not a turbo, not a GT3.
I'm guessing 175.
Did you look at the Monroney? Because that's the exact price.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, that's dude. Like everything is expensive as hell now, and you know Porsche is leading on that front of just taking things into the stratosphere, especially with you know crazy options and shit. Like what's base? Like I would imagine that car probably base is for like 141 or under 150, but it's just got.
So the
$40,000 in options.
The Targa base is actually pretty high. The Targa base is like 158, but the coupe base gets back into the why I love the GTS trim. The coupe base is like 130 or something like that.
For the GTS?
138. The GTS coupe, yeah. Yep. Which would be a steal. And there's like a lightweight package you can get on. Like the coupe is the true GTS. True. But this Targa is it is the shit.
What other trims are Targa available? And I swear I only see Targa GTS. I don't know if you can.
I think
you have to GTS order
and below.
Something
I think you,
different,
I, but I think you can get like C4s and C or Carreras and whatever. I don't think you can get like turbos, and you definitely obviously can't get GT3s. But I don't think you can get a turbo Targa because that would be fucking amazing.
Well, I mean, it is turbocharged, but it's not a turbo.
Yeah, of course, of course. They're, I mean, every 911 is turbo, but they're not the turbo.
The turbo.
Yeah. Turbo. This
we
thing.
Know who that is, what we just did.
I don't know either, man, but we both did it. We're in sync on that one. So that car is awesome. It's quick. It's wonderful. It's gorgeous in the spec. And today I managed to make it feel so slow. Because of something.
Listen, I know what you're going to say, but before you go on to that, I just want to agree with you that the Targa is my favorite.
Okay.
Of like all the 911 body styles and configurations, mainly because of that top mechanism. Like I would love to have one of those and like have it in a glass garage or just live in the garage with the car and just play with the top and just have it go up and down and just watch that whole sequence and mechanism operate.
Yeah.
It's so satisfying.
It is. And it even says, like, make sure there's room behind you as you're hitting the button because it swings, you know, way back. And it is sick. There's some buffeting at speed, though, like with the windows up and the top piece open, where if you just have to, like, crack the windows a little bit. I was kind of surprised at that. I thought it would be, like, perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's not. And I was a bit surprised at that. But back to making that car feel slow. Today, I drove 5 minutes down the street to our friends at Superformance. Wonderful, friendly people. And they gave me the keys to a Cobra, which in and of itself isn't anything crazy.
Right.
But the Cobra they gave me the keys to is a concept, a proof of concept. They've built an electric Cobra.
So weird.
And it's the scariest car I've ever driven.
No shit.
Yep. Scariest car I've ever driven.
So like no traction control.
Oh,
like
God, no. So
stability control, any of that?
No. It's appropriately, absolutely fucking batshit. And it's so weird because I've driven quick cars. I've driven fast cars. I've driven cars with loads of grip. I've driven cars with no grip. I've driven stupidly expensive cars. I've driven, you know, all this, the gamut of it. This was the most insane car I think I've ever driven. And it's because it's a single motor out back taken from a P100D,
okay,
which is a monster Tesla. And that motor is used to hauling around thousands and thousands of pounds.
5,000 pounds, right?
This Cobra weighs less than the gas versions.
And that's insane.
And those are like 2,300 pounds normally. So say we're dealing with a 2,000 pound car with no roof, no roll bar.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why didn't they have a roll bar? That's
bro, I'm 6'3". I was nervous as fuck. It's electric, so it's instant. Here's the funniest shit. As Ashton, who is the son of the owner of Superformance, the dad moved to Florida. He's running shit from over there. I think Ashton is kind of running the show now. He's the oldest son. Nice guy. He races Cobras. Like, he races an actual CSX Cobra. Nice. That has a 900 horsepower Yates motor that screams mm-hmm. to 10,000 RPM. Mm-hmm. Like, bananas. I posted it on my Instagram if anybody wants to see it. It's sick. And it's a true CSX. It's like one of seven or something like that. And he pushes it. So I'm like, hey, Ashton, so like, what are the quick like specs? Like, what's the power? This dude dead face. This dude dead face me. He's like, well, when we started, it was putting out about 4,000 pound feet of torque. And I'm like, what the fuck did you just say to me? What?
And did Josh, they go up from there, or did
Josh,
they?
No, it went down. It went down. Josh, who Ostrander, our friend who was filming, I think he said out loud. He said, "What'd you say?" Like he was like angry, appropriately angry, and I was like, okay, like playing it cool. He's like, obviously that didn't work right away. Couldn't do anything with the car, so
instant 360s.
Instant.
Yeah,
we've detuned it as far as we can detune it. Before we have to completely rewire it, and we don't want to do that.
What does that mean? Is there a like torque multiplier? Does it have a transmission or anything?
It's just that motor sitting out there on the rear axle. I don't know the full detail specs because I didn't want to dive and push because it's still a concept. So
sure.
At the heart of it, because they're also I'll tell you they're gonna if they do ever make a production version, it's not gonna have this setup because it's too much.
Yeah.
So they've detuned it, telling the system be like, back way off. To their guess is between 1,000 and 1,500 pound feet of torque. If they went lower, it was like do. It's like it put it into a limp mode. It was really weird. So it's between 1,000 and 1,500, and it's instant. If you want it, it's instant. So they put 335s out back, thinking like, oh, it'll hook up, it'll grip. No. And the weird thing is the car is totally drivable. It is. Mm-hmm. I cruised around in it. It's, if you're very progressive with the pedal, totally drivable. If you flat it, you're going to die
in somebody's yard.
The crazy thing is, yeah. And I did it like two or three times just in an area where I had room to do it if I needed to catch it. So so no power steering either.
What's the tires in the front? And is there weight in the front? Are the batteries?
The batteries are in the front. Batteries in the front, motors in the back. So the weird thing is, so there's no shift lever, obviously. There's a digital display in the middle that like when it turns on, there's three buttons, touch screen, like neutral, mm-hmm. drive, reverse. That's your gear selector. It's a computer telling the motor which way to spin, essentially. That shows wheel speed, but there's also a traditional speedometer. Mm-hmm. They've said they've seen where they've matted it, and you know the speedometer will be showing like how the car's because they're in a big ass fucking wheel stand at that point,
right.
And you know it's 5-10 miles per hour. The wheel speed has hit 198.
Yeah, I believe it.
And the crazy thing is it has this built up energy inside of it. So it has this almost like flywheel effect where with the normal brake stand, as soon as you let off the gas, the car goes, okay, this wants to rotate because there's still energy built up into it, which is terrifying because it is not what you're used to when you do that move. Mm-hmm. And so thankfully there's like, it has regen braking built into it, which is actually mm-hmm. kind of cool. And then that also makes a weird effect where you're like on it, off of it, and then aggressively off of it.
Right. But
then you can also like one pedal drive it in situations. It is this weird, insane monster of a car that was like the dumbest, but also best thing that, yeah. I mean,
How long did you have with it?
They just tossed me the keys. I shot my filming and I went back. I had it for like half the day. And if I wanted to have it for the rest of if I wanted to come back at the end of the day, I don't think they would have even cared. They're like, yeah, take it. I don't just be mm-hmm. very, I've driven a bunch of cars from Superformance, and anytime they're like, usually with the gas powered stuff, like they're like, ha ha ha, here's the keys, man. Go have fun. This thing's awesome. Go have fun. This time they're right. Be very, very
careful.
Car has scared. There's people on staff who don't want to drive it.
There's a guy, Doug, there at Superformance, right?
I don't know Doug.
Right. And I'm not even certain that's his name, but I feel like that's it. I think I've seen a video of him on like Autotopia or one of those like YouTube channels driving that car. And like, even he like gets much more sideways than he anticipated. And like, you could see the fear in his face, like, oh shit, this is not one of our like 800, 900 horsepower cars. This is something entirely different. It behaves entirely different. And you have to treat that like with the utmost respect. Like,
just, and you can't hear it. So like, right. If you put your foot into it, because the first time tires start spinning, they don't immediately just start going, wee, you know. So right. There's like, there's more of a zzz buildup, and you're like, what is that? You're like, oh my god! And then then it catches, and it's like a Cobra short wheelbase, so it's like right. You got to like snappy. It. The drive to the shooting location, I was actually terrified driving it really slow. The drive home, I relaxed a little bit. I got into it, but it's so this again. This one's still a concept, and from what I've heard, talking to Ashton, the son, the man running the show there, very nice guy who races the Cobra. He's like, it's way too much power. He's like, we got to cut it in half. He's if we made a production version, I would probably put a Mach-E motor in it or something like that. Sure. I'm like, that makes total sense. Cause I said to him, like, you're gonna have to retrain people who buy these.
Right.
he said, there's a process. If you try to start it and your foot is accidentally touching the gas pedal, it won't turn on. I'm like, that's good.
That's good.
He's like, when you roll it out, he's like, just be real easy on the throttle. He's like, cause and I'm in my head, I'm like, I've driven, you know, plenty of electric cars. I know it's instant torque. I'm like, no, but they like Lance, the dad, the owner of the company was like, he's like, you're going to have a lot of fun. He's like, but this still has the Cobra bite and it is the scariest car I've ever. I think he said it's the scariest car he's ever driven. And this is a man who's driven insane things. It's the dumbest, coolest thing.
I love it.
Dumbest isn't fair. Like a TRX is dumb in a fun way. And I mean, you know, lovingly saying a TRX is dumb. This isn't dumb. This is brilliant, but insane. This is like if anybody out there loved the show or the graphic novel Watchmen or the movie, this is Rorschach, the car. You know, it's and the movie version too played really well by, I can't remember the actor's name, where he was like, you think I'm locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. That's that car. Cause you're like, oh fuck, please. And I was real worried cause the pedals in a Cobra are offset. So my feet are over here, but I was 6'3", I fit. I was worried about my left foot getting behind the brake pedal.
Yeah.
So for the first half of driving the car, I had my left leg like bent and tucked under my right leg. So there was, and I was like, I don't know how this isn't, but then I got it down there and it was far enough. It was to the left and the pedal action was like just past it. I'm like, all right, we're good. And the regen braking helped like assuage some of the fears.
Yeah.
But what a thing.
I can't wait to see the video.
Yeah, we shot proper video too with actual like pass by. It's funny because like pass bys, it's like
you hear tire noise more than anything.
You hear it's. I think it. What's NT555s or what are those Nittos?
Sure. Yeah.
So that's what's on it. So it's like picking up like gravel rocks on the side of the road. And I did one burnout for camera. And Josh is like, you just threw rocks straight into my face. I was like, sorry.
My bad.
At least we're using my camera. Hopefully there's a filter on it. Yeah, my bad, exactly.
Believe it or not, I've never driven any sort of Cobra. Any kit car, anything. I need to rectify that. I don't want to start with that one, but I definitely want to drive a Cobra one of these days.
They're
I'm not saying I want to drive Super Performance. I'm just saying, like,
No.
It's, you know, it's one of my favorite cars. It's one of the cars that got me into cars as a child. Like, I think I was like 6 or 7 years old when I read about the Shelby Cobra 0 to 60 in like 4.5 seconds. It was the quickest car in the world, even in like the 1980s, 1990s.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I didn't understand that it was a 30-year-old car at that point, or 25-year-old car at that point. Right. Like, I thought like this was a new car that you could buy. So I was just like always on the lookout for one. Like, oh my God, like. You know, I'd
Why
see,
is
I'm
no
sure
one buying this? Yeah. Why is no one buying this?
Well, I mean, this is like when, you know, you had like four exotics, Testarossa, 959, Countach, and Cobra. Like, that was it. And like, you didn't see any of them, but, you know, I thought it was a contemporary. I didn't realize like that car was built in the 60s. I thought it was like a newer car. So I was always on the lookout. And then when I'd see like a kit car, I'd be so disappointed. Like, 289, 5.0. What?
Which...
Like,
to be honest,
it's supposed to be 427.
Which, to be honest, a 289 in a narrow body Cobra is like perfect.
Right.
Perfect. It's the first Cobra I ever drove. I was doing this show, this classic car show that went nowhere, and then the company fucked me out of like $15,000, which is another story. But we were shooting an episode somewhere, and we did like an end of episode thing at a meetup at like a diner in the Midwest, and a bunch of people with classic cars showed up, and it was fucking great. And this dude is in there with a Cobra with a Hemi.
Like a modern Hemi or like a big old, like old school.
I don't remember which Hemi was in it, but he also had a 200 plus shot of nitrous.
That's necessary.
And he said he hit it once and he'll never touch the button again. Right. And so I think he was saying it was making like sticks. And it was an automatic, which was weird, but I barely fit because I think that was part of the engine's problem, not the car's problem. And I don't know which kit the body was, but we took it. By the way, I love that you have these headphones so you can like walk and talk all the way back to the fridge. That's funny. Are those 97s or Maxes?
Max ones.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I caught a sneakers for those of you listening. So we took it around the block. It was awesome and neat. That was my first Cobra experience. And then I don't think I'd driven another Cobra until today. Wow. Because since then I've driven Daytona Coupes, which I prefer, which is a douchey thing to say. And then
Because
I like the roof. I like the coupe. I like the roof because you could, you know, daily drive it theoretically. But then
no AC with no sliding windows, no opening windows. You got like the little toll windows, right?
That's fine. I'll do like fold down vinyl. Really? I'll do fold down. I'll like button snap it in like it's a marine thing application. But then so the Daytona Coupe was my favorite, and I'd driven maybe three of those. Obviously not real ones, of course. There's five or something like that.
Six.
Until I drove Superformance's, what the fuck is their vet called? Which I think
the Grand Sport.
Five. Yeah, the Grand Sport, which is one of the raddest things I've ever driven. But to tie in the coupe to the thing I drove today, they know how insane the Cobra is. They're going to try to do a dual motor Daytona coupe, all wheel drive, so a front and a rear, dude. So then they're going to be able to theoretically put the power down better in what I think is a better looking car. And I mean,
I just see instead of like instant 180s, I just see instant like off the road, like down the embankment into somebody's yard.
Hell no. I see highway poles. Like, let's start at 100 and go to infinity. Let's go to infinity. Yeah. It's going to be like that doop 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 doop, like that TikTok where they're going to the outer space. You got to find your way into a Cobra, though. You got to know someone, right?
Who gets into a Cobra? I have a neighbor in the building that has one. I don't know if it's Factory Five or Super Performance or what, but it's a kit car, and it's got a like just a 90s 5 liter in it with like heads cam intake, and sounds the part, looks the part. I'm sure he'd let me drive his car, but I always see him randomly pulling out at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning on a weekend, and I'm like, yo, where are you going?
Is
Like, I
that
would
that's not
go
the dude
with
we
you.
that's not the dude from Radwood, is it?
No. So that guy, my friend Sean, he has a 95 Mustang GT that has, I think it's got heads cam intake, basically same motor, same thing, but it's just like the cleanest SN95 Mustang on the planet. And yeah, I've got to get my Mustang back on the road to cruise around with him. I just saw him today and he's just like, dude, what's up? Where's the Mustang? And I'm just like, I don't need it from you too.
You're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I love you, but shut the
Yeah.
fuck up.
Leave me
That's
alone.
funny. That's pretty funny though. We gotta find you your way into a Cobra.
Yeah.
It's because it's the gas powered ones, the two. Well, I've driven one gas powered one and one electric one, but I'll relate it more to the Daytona Coupes then because it's the similar powertrain. It's awesome, but it's everything you're used to in that it's like, all right, heavy throttle pedal,
Right.
tight, awesome, precise gearbox. Get on those brakes early because and the rest is gravy.
I'm
And
really interested in the feel of the reverse shifter in the Cobras, you know, like how
oh,
they're angled
the click click.
forwards. Well, no, just the fact that they're angled forward, you know, they're Mustang
Oh,
shifters that are turned around
the
backwards.
lever that
I
goes like
just,
this.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Like it looks so awkward. I just wonder if like if there's like a learning curve to that or if it just feels pretty natural. It just looks awkward.
I bet in 5 seconds you'd be like, this is the best shit ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Shifting non-gears. I hate using that segue.
Hey.
All right. I know I hate it. Car show. It's a
We were
car
literally
show.
just talking about shifting.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZF Auto. That would be great, man. They have lots of money.
Fuck yeah.
So
We get
next week,
one of the
I
eight
am,
speeds.
yeah. We have eight topics tonight on ZF Auto Chat. Next week, I am flying to Austin, Texas. That's not a good accent. I'm usually better than that. To drive the Grand Cherokee 4xe.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, I think that could be a really great daily driver. Like that could be a really good daily driver.
I think that will be a huge success for them if it's priced right, especially with
The
gas prices currently.
Wrangler, I guess, is selling really well because there's like rebates on it.
Yeah.
And then in California, because it's a true plug-in hybrid, you get carpool access, theoretically, I believe,
Yeah,
which is
that's
fucking amazing. And
fucking
it's
worth every
still
penny.
a Rubicon, so it's dope as hell off-road.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. The 4xe Wrangler is only a Rubicon.
Can you
Shit.
crawl?
Shit, I gotta double check that, but I'm like 94%. Yeah,
Haven't
you
paid much
can.
attention, so I'm definitely not going to debate that. But can you crawl? Can you off-road like strictly electric power?
Yes, if you have the
Yeah.
juice, you can, yes. Yeah, this thing is Rubicon only. Yeah, it's Rubicon only. But if you see those blue tow hooks on the road, you're staring at a 4xe, which it's fine. Some owners have painted them to red, which is silly. Just leave the blue, man. It looks cool. It separates
Yeah.
it. And it's like different on a Jeep. It's like a nice, it's almost like a UNC blue. It's kind of cool. So that's pretty cool. Now you talk about your thoughts for it for a second while I go get a refill for my shit. What do you
Okay.
think about the Jeep Wrangler 4xe?
Like I said, I think it'll be a huge success for him. Like everybody is trying to, nobody wants to downsize their vehicle, but they want to downsize their gas budget these days. And anything like that that like can haul a bunch of crap and a bunch of people that is somewhat fuel efficient or at least has an advantage over its standard just ICE counterpart. Like I think that's huge. And I think they're gorgeous, man. I saw one yesterday that was painted two-tone. It was two-tone silver and black, basically above the belt line, was painted black. And maybe the bottom half was wrapped. I don't know how they accomplished it, but it was painted two-tone. It had, you know, like 22s, like black wheels. It looked fucking sick.
That might have been a Wagoneer.
No,
It
it was
was
a
a.
Grand Cherokee. It
You
was a Grand
sure?
Cherokee. It was actually a Grand Cherokee L,
Oh,
but
okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I liked the Grand Cherokee L when I drove it because I drove a fully loaded one because obviously press fleet bullshit. But it, you can get that with a Macintosh audio system, which is, it sounded
super dope. And they have like the analog, like fake, but analog looking, like, I don't know what they are, ammeters, whatever, like the needles. Like there's some screen where you can get the display of the Macintosh. Like, Macintosh amps typically have
they do the
analog needle that's, I don't know, it's a ammeter, like power meter. I don't know, decibel meter. I don't know what the hell it is, but that's like their signature, and it looks sick when they replicate that in the
that dashboard. That is cool. I didn't even know that. That is cool though. But normally when I test an audio system, I set everything to neutral based how they set it in the factory. And I like to hear how it sounds from the factory tune. And then I pump it with the Macintosh audio system. I couldn't get it to full volume without it being too loud.
Yeah.
And normally every auto system, you max it out. You're like, all right, yeah, this is pretty loud. Okay, cool. The Macintosh, I'm climbing up there. I'm like, I got to back off. This is too much. And it was crystal.
My years of raves, rap concerts, fucking top, standing in the top, like at the starting line of Top Fuel, like dragsters. My hearing is, it allows me to pump the volume way more than most people, but I'm also not.
You have a road of tinnitus ahead of you.
Oh, totally, totally. I absolutely do. My ears ring after most commutes, dude, because I just like, I turn it up all the way to like the point of distortion. I'm like, that's it. Like, I don't have to listen to like all the rattles of my truck.
Oh yeah. I need to get mine. I want to dynamat my shit. Just because now I have a better audio system and I can hear my tunes. I think it's time now to go to the next level and dynamat it. And that is actually a brilliant segue because the next note on my sheet here is our fleet. I got an email today. My Montero roof rack has shipped. I have tracking numbers. Fuck yes. I'm super fucking stoked on that. I ordered a rack from Gamma Vitae. They built it to the specs I wanted, and I'm stoked. And then I also ordered
The options. What?
I didn't go crazy because I wanted the lowest profile rack I could get, because I originally never wanted a rack. I wanted a nice clean look, but I've, over the last few years, I've seen vehicles with awnings, and for camping, having the ability to pull an awning out the side of my truck just seems so like awesome. Totally. So I need a rack for that. So then I need also it to be a gutter channel mount rack rather than a roof rail rack, because I don't have those because my vehicle's too early. So the guy's like, I can absolutely build that. I build these for fucking FJ60s, FJ62s, and it was less than what, you know, an off-the-shelf Rhino or Front Runner would cost. So it was like a no-brainer. And then it's a built-in, there's going to be a spot in the front for, he also provides, he's like, hey, I sell LEDs for these too if you want a light in the roof. He's like, it's a Chinese light, but it works just as good as all the rest, and blah, 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 and I can pre-wire it. I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. Works for me. So I added that. And then it's just a really clean looking rack. And I'm looking forward to it, because then I scored those two Baja Design lights from that job I did. So I'm going to try to mount those somewhere on there. And then I still want to do the Hidden Chase light behind my rear glass. But then I ordered from Rugged Radio, who, you know, supplies all the radios for off-road racing and on-road racing stuff too. They make it's called a GMRS. So it's a different type of band than a traditional band. It's like, this is supposed to be like a 45-mile range or something. So I'm getting a radio for the truck for, if you're proper off-roading, you can talk to other vehicles. I'm trying to time it all, because the radio is in a box back behind the Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Behind me. Oh shit, I just made my dogs bark by banging on the hood of my car. Sorry, dogs.
I'm wearing headphones, so this guy can't hear that and go
crazy. Oh, good. Yeah. Like all three of them just started going.
Yeah, I hear them.
So, shut up. Shut your mouth. So I'm going to, at the same time, I'm taking it to a shop that did the audio install on the Montero and the dash cam. Because to do the wiring we're going to need for the lights and the radio, The only best way to do it on my truck is through the roof. And I think I said this in the last podcast, they're going to silicone it. They're going to do it proper. I'm not going to fuck with that. I don't want leaks. So I've got the radio now. I've got this really cool tiny little antenna that will be nice and hidden for the radio. I'm super stoked on all that shit. And then on the Jag front, I'm not going to hit it this time. I finally swapped out the full quad yellow in the front because it was too much.
That was obnoxious.
It was too much. But I kept it Marshalls on the inner. So
yeah.
I found the white Marshalls for the head, for the high beams. So it's now yellow outers, white inners, which is the opposite of what most people do. And
100%
technically probably not so legal. but you know what, you know, I'm a fucking thug. Can't even say that with a straight face. I think it looks better. It looks better. Breaking it up. Quad yellows is too much.
Definitely flip it for my personal taste to have white headlights with the yellow brights or fogs, whatever. But it's not my shit. It's your car. Do what you like. Right.
And I agree that is the more traditional, better looking way to do it.
Do you drive that car in the at night often anyway?
No.
Like these are, yeah.
And no. And like the one time I did, my flight was delayed coming back to LAX where the car was waiting. And I got in. It was the first time I drove it at night with the headlights. I turned them on. I was like, oh shit, I'm about to get pulled over. I'm about to get pulled over. Like this would be awesome on like a foggy day or like, you know, a foggy night or something. Like I don't need them at night, but you know what? Right. Fuck it. Who cares? There's people who do a lot dumber shit out there than this.
Totally.
And,
I'm hoping that post pandemic, like stuff like lights out, weird light colors, you know, blues and reds and yellows and the stuff that like, you know, cops were like salivating to pull you over for before. I'm hoping that, you know, that stuff kind of fades in distance. I mean, you know, certain
blues and reds will never go away.
Well, I mean, if you have, yeah, I agree with that.
Especially in California, they're like,
yeah,
yeah.
But, you know, window tint, just, you know, the non-moving violations, little shit that like, you know, people do to upgrade or just personalize their cars with lights and films and stuff like that. Like, right, I feel like,
right.
I don't know if I'm just fortunate to be in Long Beach and they really don't trip on that shit just because they're like, you know, a car friendly, community.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm sure there's still places like Cobb County, Georgia, that will still fuck with you over anything. Like, you know, if you have any like strip of window tint on your windshield, or if you have, you know, more than 50% on your side windows, there's just certain, you know, certain law enforcement agencies that are just always hard ass and will always just take any excuse to pull you over and to harass you. But, I feel like, you know, in the last 2 years, a lot of that shit has been relaxed, at least here in Southern California. And like, they just don't trip on it like they used to. And I'm hoping that, that remains to be the case.
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I feel like it ebbs and flows is a way to put it. Speaking of weird California shit though, I got my hair cut and my barber was saying, he's like, hey, have you seen how like, cause I drove the Jag to, he's like, oh, you got the black and yellow. He's like, I've seen people painting the yellow part white. I'm like, oh no, that's the new digital plate. There's a digital plate in California that's black and white, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And then literally,
it's not just that, but go ahead.
Yeah. Literally the next day I saw a painted, plate.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, I was wrong. I got to text him. Actually, I just thought of this. I'm like, why the fuck did they paint the yellow out?
Yeah.
This is a thing.
It's a company that actually wraps the plates and then like they custom color it. Like one of my neighbors, he has a white, BMW X5M and I saw him pull out of the garage the other day and like, I texted him. I was like, yo, what is that plate? Tell me you didn't spend like the $800 for that digital plate. And he was like, no, it's just like custom wrap. Like basically they take your plate, your regular white, blue on white California plate, and they wrap it black and then like custom cut the letters, and the letters can be pink, white, yellow, whatever the hell you want.
People are going to get pulled over for that shit.
Totally. But like, I guarantee you, because the company, I found at least one company online that does it on Instagram, and they'll even print you new day, month, and year stickers. So I know that's
just. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Though the funny thing is, too, as you said, like, oh, no, it's a wrap. I did a wrap. The immediate thing that went through my head, because I'm trying to do more shit on my own. Do you know how easy it would be to fucking tape and spray a plate?
Mm-hmm.
Like the tape work would be the most annoying part. Like, you'd be like, oh, to, you know, get all the shit. But like, that would take 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you wrapping it for? I guess you can peel it off.
Yeah. And I mean, also most people aren't as patient or as skillful with something like that. They don't even know that that's available to them.
Oh, don't say skillful. Like, oh, fuck it up.
Oh, you do this for a living. This is your business. Okay. Yeah. Whatever it is, 100, 200 bucks. I haven't even looked into how much it is, but like, you know, it's worth it to most people to not have to deal with that. But like, I seriously want to like go back and hand paint the yellow letters on my black plate on the Tahoe in gold. Like, at some point I'll get around to that. But like,
change the yellow to gold.
Yeah. Just keep the black plate, but then just do gold paint. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
When you buy the paint,
mm-hmm.
let me know.
Oh yeah. We can have a paint party, dude. We can have paint and Pinot. Paint and Pinot plate party.
Paint and Pinot plate party on next St. Patty's Day. Plan ahead for the party that's popping with the Pinot. Fucking A, that's hilarious. But all jokes aside, I want to be at your paint and Pinot party.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll get the paint.
Fucking A. I would have gone old gold because I really like old gold as a color, but I will do.
What the fuck is old gold?
Old gold is a color. Old gold is a color. It's D4A73 on the hex decimal chart. And I know that because I use it all the time. I use it all the time in photo. I'm going to Google it too. D4A F37. Yeah, F37.
Oh my God. I thought D4A I knew that.
F37
colors.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you colorblind motherfucker. You don't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I reduced colors to numbers for me.
D4A F37. That's gold.
It's a light yellow shade.
I know. I saw the description too. I thought it was called old gold. Because there is a color officially called old gold.
Sure.
Because yeah, like modern
gold. It comes up under hex color, but then I just love random internet searches. Like, people also ask
D4A.
what is the color code for shiny gold, motherfucker? Yeah. Like,
yeah, because they wound up at the wrong gold. They didn't
give you 2,000 color codes.
Right Hex decimals. Yeah, there's an infinite number basically. All right, now we're gonna swap out to actually first you have updates on your fleet. You have updates.
Yeah, I, you know, we moved into our garage space basically in the last 2 weeks, and I totally took advantage of it last weekend. I did a lot of just little upgrades and detail work to the Tahoe. I've had LEDs for like all the interior lights, all the dash lights, even the headlights and taillights, turn signals, all that stuff. I installed all that stuff over the weekend, and it made a huge difference in just like the usability and like the practicality of the truck. You know, it's like
100%.
Normally, like, especially during day driving, like I'm looking, trying to see what is my speed, how much gas do I have, like I'm squinting and like everything is really dim. Now I just drive with all the lights on because it's not a drain on the battery. You know, like my stereo was a huge drain on the battery, and I've seen a few videos before where my voltmeter, like the gauge dips every time bass hits and like the lights dim. Yep. And like, now it's basically alleviated all of that stuff. And like I have relays, and then I have a high four wiring harness for the truck, which basically right now the outer bulbs, like, you know, the truck has two bulbs on each side arranged horizontally in the headlights. The outer bulbs are the low beams, the inner bulbs are the high beams, and they don't come on together. So I've got a harness that will allow four high so that all four beams are on when you're on high. But like visibility, like I hated driving that truck at night. Like I couldn't see anything. Like I had like some upgraded halogen bulbs, but they were like blue temp, and they didn't light the road at all. Now I've still got to aim the lights. I've got to like aim them properly, but it's dramatically different. Like lights pop on, and I can see at night. So I'm not so hesitant to drive that truck at night. Even driving during the day and being able to see all the dash lights lit up and just like being able to at a glance, like without having to like get down and squint and look and see, like, am I about to run out of gas? Like,
Right.
you know, I'm totally it's just much more comfortable. And like, you know, it's I finally installed my Nextbase dash cam as well. And I haven't explored all the features, but I definitely have peace of mind. And like, it's funny because it's the kind of thing that you don't really think about.
Right.
Like, it beeps and it makes noise. I have, like,
You
you
can
know,
turn
all the
that off.
notifications on. I know, but I have it on just because I like to be reminded. But you know, it's like, when I remember it, I drive a little bit differently. And like, I don't drive aggressively in that truck because the brakes and the suspension are
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
wonky. So it's like, you know, I'm not speeding or anything, but like, you know, it's just like, I'll be sitting there and like somebody will cut me off and I'll just scream and just fucking motherfuck the shit out of them. And I'm just like, oh, like, I
Oh
have to drive.
boy.
Like,
Oh boy.
there's evidence of that. And like, you know, I find myself like on my phone and being like, oh, if anything happens, the evidence that you provide will incriminate you, you idiot.
Yeah,
Like,
because you have the in cabin on yours, right?
I don't know if it's hooked up. Like, I haven't figured out how to display that,
Okay.
but like Nextbase actually messaged me after I posted on Instagram on Sunday, and they told me that I had the USB plugged into the camera and I should plug it into the mount because it's better for GPS accuracy and other things. Like, it's
Yeah,
just better
right.
to power the mount than the camera. So I switched that up, but like, honestly, I did it last minute. It was like the last thing that I did on Sunday. So I was just like, it was kind of a pain in the ass to like run the wiring and to keep it from drooping from the headliner and like to get it tucked in the A-pillar and stuff. So
Sure.
that's why I saved it for last. But then, you know, I was also just hurried. I was just like, I just want to be done. I
Yeah,
want to go
yeah.
home. Like, I wanted to beat the sunlight home. And I didn't go through all the features and everything and like set everything up. I set it up to like just the most basic setup.
Right,
So
right,
I
right.
definitely want to go back, and I have the instruction and the quick start guide handy. So maybe tomorrow I'll go through and
You should
like
get
play
the
with all
app
the
too.
functions. And I have the app. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I definitely have the app, but like I couldn't get it. I couldn't access the camera. This is one thing that was irritating, was that I couldn't access the camera from my phone from home, even though the truck is just downstairs. Like, it just kept saying connecting, 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 and it would never connect. So
Because it wants it on. It has to be on.
right.
Yeah.
But you know, it's constantly powered, so I thought it would
It's
connect
it
and be
but
on.
it
Like, it's
but it
got the
when it's in
12
shutoff
volt
mode,
power.
when it's in shutoff mode, it when it's like shut off, it won't do the like the Wi-Fi signal. Is if but the other
Okay.
day I realized mine wasn't in parking mode, so I turned that on.
Right.
Because I didn't have that on. But now like if I like if my truck was off and I slam my door hard, it'll turn on. So like it's ready to turn on, but if it's off, you can't connect to it.
Okay. I thought parking mode would basically give it power to connect and allow you to see what the camera sees while it's
No, no,
parked.
no. Parking mode is like you can set the sensitivity. Parking mode is like, oh shit, someone bumped into this. Let me turn on.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see. I haven't gotten any notifications. So, like I said, I haven't done my part to set everything up and to go through all the settings and figure it all out. So,
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that tomorrow, or what's tomorrow? Thursday? Tomorrow, Friday, I'll go through all that.
It's St. Patrick's Day, laddie.
Yes. I'm not gonna attempt any sort of Irish accent. But yeah, I'm
No,
thrilled to have the
wait, wait,
accent.
wait. Back up. Let's hear it.
No, I'm not doing
No,
it.
let's hear it.
No, this is not an accent that I'm
You
capable of.
do an offensive accent and then I'll try to
It's not even
enunciate.
about being offensive. It's just terrible. Like, I don't even know. Like, somebody once
Oh, you
pointed
thought
out
about
to
doing
me
it.
that all of my ethnic or non just standard like accents are the same, whether I'm trying to be like imitate Armenian, Mexican, Japanese, Chinese. Like, they all sound the same. Like, I can't differentiate with my mouth. My ears I can differentiate, but with my mouth, everybody
I mean, I
sounds
would hope so because that's a wide range.
funny to me. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's great. That is
Exactly. I'm a
fantastic. All right.
jackass.
I really want to hear an attempt at an Irish accent, though. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. Even if it's bad, Irish people aren't going to get mad. Like,
I know, but
you
I'll
can't.
have to live with that.
Oh, Irish is easy too.
Irish maybe after easy. Two more drinks and yes. And recording off.
All right. I'm actually going to hit pause on recording so I can use okay. the little go, boys room.
Go boy.
And like that, the magic of the pause button. The pause button. Yeah, exactly. That was good. We're back. As I'm chugging from my Russian River Blind Pig IPA, like which
we
is
never left.
It's like we never left. Another big ass bottle, buddy.
Yeah, dude. Good for you.
Happy St. Paddy's. Also, another rule for you people who don't know.
It's already St. Paddy's Day on the East Coast, so we can celebrate.
Oh, hells yeah. I like your attitude now, my friend. if you spell it P-A-T-T-Y, you've done it wrong. It's P-A-D-D-Y.
P-A-T.
Because P-A-D-D-Y is basically shortening the word, the name Patrick or Padraig or however you want to spell it. And
right.
P-A-T-T-Y is shortening Patricia. So,
oh, shit.
And it's not to get into like masculine, feminine roles, but it's St. Patrick. It's so you know, whatever. I'm not going to dive deep into that side of it.
I was going to say we're good for bastardizing anything. So
yes, true. But
it's good luck converting and teaching the masters, the masses here.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
No, I appreciate it.
What is the line in fucking Pulp Fiction? I'm trying.
When is that?
At the end, when they're in that's the like diner still, with
that's
the wallet.
The least significant quote of that movie I can name.
That's the sound. I was going to send you that GIF. I was looking for that clip from Bad Boys 1. Is it 1 or 2?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
With Joe, whatever the fuck their chief's name mm-hmm. is.
Yeah. He's the captain.
Captain, sorry. This is the second time that Zencaster has crashed it on us. And I think it's happened both times when I paused, right?
Yep. Don't do that shit.
Yeah. It's something about it makes it like my entire computer crashes. So if we need to take a break, I'll fix it in editing.
Yeah.
We just have to keep rolling.
Fix it in post.
Fix it in post. What were we talking about?
We'll do it live. I don't know if I think I finished talking about my Tahoe and my weekend upgrades.
So now do Audi because we've got news.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
We've got the promise of news. We've got the tease of news.
I got a
message with photographic evidence last Thursday, that the car had been painted, glass is installed, car's painted, we're just wet sanding, car should be ready on Monday. Didn't hear anything Monday, didn't hear anything Tuesday. So I texted like, hey, what's up? Yesterday morning, Tuesday morning, and he basically told me that in final buff, they burned through the paint on the roof.
Oh, so my God.
They had to respray the roof. And, like, you know, all my industry friends were like, bro, tell him to send you a picture. Fuck this bullshit. I'm like, what the fuck is a picture going to do? Like, why would he lie about that?
Right.
Like, of all the things to lie about, like,
100%. You know, 100%.
Like, you know, I totally believe he's being accountable and he's, you know, trying to fix it. Even if he's buying time, like, you know, it's not going to help me.
No.
Ask for a picture and fucking create conflict. Like I just want the car. So actually I'm going to host a few episodes of This Versus That for Hoonigan next week. And I want to take the car and I actually want to drive and compete with the car. I want to race somebody. Like, so there, it's a bracket race showdown.
Oh, change the format.
I may be saying too much, but that is
the plan. Yeah, I think you are.
And it could change. You know, these things do change. But, I really want the car to drive up to basically San Luis Obispo. It's like, you know, with traffic, it's taken me 5 hours. It could be a 3-hour drive.
Damn, they're way up there. I didn't think they were that far.
It's Santa Margarita. It's just past or just outside of SLO. So
it is. You need hotel territory.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we get hotels and stuff, and like, this time it's going to be a 3-day shoot, so I want to drive in comfort. Like, I could take my Tahoe, but I'm pushing, and I've never pushed with the body shop on either the Targa or my Audi, but I'm pushing, like, please get me the car by Friday, because there's another interesting component. If I'm going to race the car, I want to put my best foot forward and have every advantage possible. So we hit up our friends at APR for a tune and a trans tune for the car
Ooh,
that
hello.
would unlock a lot of extra power. And I think it would go from, like, those cars are underrated. Like, I think
Oh, yeah.
factory, the C7.5, so the facelift cars, which is 2016 to 2018, the S7, S6, they're rated at 450 horsepower and something like 420 pounds feet of torque. They
Pow,
actually
pow,
make,
baton.
yeah,
Get
they
that
actually,
400 pow, pow, baton.
that Lair Hoover, them big meat,
Pow, pow, baton.
315, but they're really underrated. Like, they make,
Shave the pews for the cubes.
oh God. So the cars
Sorry, go
actually
ahead.
make closer to 500 horsepower at
Nice.
the crank from the factory, and they're underrated. But the APR tune unlocks crazy power. I think it's like
Unlock the stank at
617.
the crank.
Yeah, totally. We're devolving here. We should just end
That's
with
not
the last
devolving.
segment.
That's a better t-shirt than pubes and cubes. Unlock the stank at the crank.
Totally.
That is fucking
Yes.
great. If APR steals that, I'm gonna need royalties.
Oh God, I'll pitch it to him tomorrow.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm hoping for basically what would amount to on 104 octane. They're like, "Will you run race fuel?" And I'm like, "Well, with the price of fucking 91 right now, there can't be much difference. I don't give a shit. Yeah, I'll
Do
fucking
they at your
throw a
shoots, do
104
they
in it."
have barrels of race
No,
fuel?
I'll have to load up at the VP around the corner. There's a VP here in downtown Long Beach that sells 100 octane. I think they sell 104. They might sell something beyond that, but the stage 2 APR tune calls for 10, like, to unlock the full potential, it calls for 104 octane. So if I can
Does
get a
it
couple
know if
barrels of
the
that
car
for,
doesn't have it?
that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I would think with NOx sensors it does, but I mean, my plan is I'll figure all this out. Like, we just started talking about this yesterday and today. So my plan is basically to pick up a couple barrels and drive up there and make sure the tank is as close to empty as possible
Right.
once I get there,
Right.
and then load up and have a few runs, see how far we get, and hopefully I don't run out of gas if I make it a few rounds. And it should be fun, man. Like, I want to finally enjoy this car. And
Hell yeah.
yeah, and
That's
also
awesome.
just drive up there and relative not relative I mean, that car is fucking
That's a great
luxurious. The
car.
car is comfortable. So yeah, man, it would finally be rewarding to get the most out of this car in just a few days. Drive up there cool, comfortable, and then pounds, well, I am not going to finish that sentence because that sounds weird, but just kick some ass on the strip. So
I'm curious what you were going
we shall see. I was going to say
to
pounds some ass, and I'm like, wait a minute, let's not, bro,
Yo,
don't say that, but I
lean
said it
into it.
anyway.
Lean
Yeah,
into
so that's where I'm at. And yeah, I'm hopeful that I can get the car back Friday in order to get it tuned on Saturday and or Monday, and head up there Monday night and shoot for 3 days. And yeah, it's always a good time, but I'm looking forward to being more involved as a host. They want to ramp up my involvement, which I certainly appreciate, and I think will be super fun. I did a few episodes back in January, and honestly, just didn't know what they wanted from me, so I did the least,
I
tried to do the
almost just said the most offensive thing I could say to
most.
you,
Yeah,
and I didn't, and I might text it to you because I
I
don't want to say it on,
already
because
got
we can say it to each other and laugh, but
you.
I didn't want to say it live on the podcast. I'm going to
I'm
text it to you
definitely
live
filling
on
the
the
diversity
podcast.
quotient. There's no doubt
What did you
about that,
say?
but I said I'm definitely fulfilling the diversity quotient.
I just texted you.
But I love all those dudes, and
I
they are
know,
my
I know,
most
I know, but
fulfilling.
it's,
Yeah, totally.
I'm just fucking with you, but it's,
Yeah, no, but it's true.
I
It's
know,
truth
I
as
know.
well.
Though they are getting rid of a lot of white people, so
Unless
Chase
they're
is
getting rid of a
gone.
lot. Yeah, that's it.
No, Chase is going. Yeah. Dan's probably going to leave soon. He's got his own YouTube channel now.
Yeah, I mean, he left as a full-time employee. I mean, that's
no secret. See? But, there you go.
But he hosted the last two seasons, This Versus That / This Versus Plaid that I did. So, you know,
he's Hurt he's still around. An employee?
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hurt. He's in charge of social media. I don't know in what capacity or what his title is. I don't know what anybody's title is, but.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I got to tell you, your boy, Zachary's Blazer.
Oh my God.
Brother,
it's a Jimmy. What
the fuck is, excuse me, GMC, right? He's got the fancy shit. I even made a joke about that in the episode. That's too much for that truck.
It totally is. Like the entire time he's been building that truck for like the last 2 years, he's like, big block, fucking 700 horsepower, goddamn fucking Bigfoot's dick cam. And I'm just like, what are you going to do with this? Like, you picked the most spaghetti-ass chassis to throw all this power in. What the fuck are you going to do with that? Like, you know, you can't use that off-road. Like, he didn't build, like, a trophy truck fucking suspension and chassis. And I'm just like, what are you going to do with it? And then I rode with him to his episode, like, to the, like, that day of filming. And it's just the most obnoxious thing ever. We started up in the parking lot the night before. Like, everybody, like, came out. And, like, it was the first time everybody saw it and, like, experienced it. We just fired it up, lit it idle in the parking lot at, like, 11 o'clock at night and just pissed all the other hotel guests off. And then we fire up at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning to go to set. And it was just – it was embarrassing. It's, like, super fucking loud and obnoxious. And he's got, like – bullet race mufflers on it, and it's like it makes almost no difference, but it drones like crazy. It's just like bah! like all time on the freeway, and that fool drove it like 1,000 miles there and back, so like a 2,000-3,000 mile road trip. And
so I bet the, like, seats are comfortable. The seats are probably super comfortable.
I mean, dude, it was comfortable. Like, I'm not knocking anything, but it's not.
And it's not, and I love it. I love it, but. It's like he built it to sell his like own branded cams. Like,
well, it doesn't even have his cam in it. So the irony of it. No, but he basically built it to sell that crate motor, which is a Smedding Performance, like dart block, like 572 and just like 700 horsepower. And it's like, it's the silliest thing ever in a truck like that, but the truck barely handles it and it hauls ass and it's actually super fun to ride in. It's like, it's as obnoxious as Zach's on-screen personality, but it's actually tractable, usable power. The truck has AC, it has heat. Like,
so like it's, Zach it's, off-screen, it's pleasant.
Totally. Yeah.
It's like, and it's funny you said that. I'm daydreaming. I'm like, you know what would look really nice with that engine?
100%. Yeah. I'm like, you know, OBS trucks came with big blocks. Like, just motor mounts and, you know, a built trans, and I could have a 700 horsepower big block.
No tire. Cutting, no welding. It's literally engine mounts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how much is that engine?
Oh, I can $25,000-$30,000.
I was going to say more than all of our cars.
Yeah, totally. Like, I would sell the Audi to put a ridiculous engine in the Tahoe and just have something totally unusable that will just shake itself apart.
That was it. That was like a layup joke where you could have said more than your cars.
Come on, dog. It's not like I
wouldn't have taken offense.
Yeah, I mean,
that's comedic timing. Jump on that shit.
I don't have the title in hand for the Audi. Bank of America owns this shit.
Yeah, but still, Fox bodies are going up. OBSs are like
running Fox
twitching. Bodies are OBSs are twitching.
Oh, the Tahoe is for sure the most valuable thing that I have. Like,
really?
I would consider. I don't really want to sell the Tahoe, but I would consider trading it for a few things. And I probably touched on this before. I would trade it for like a nice Fox body, either a 93 Cobra or a Saleen.
Sure.
Driver condition. I don't need like a 1500 mile fucking, you know, museum piece, something that I could really drive and enjoy, but it's like the quote unquote ultimate Fox.
Right.
96 Impala or, 99-03 Lightning. I feel like I'm at the point with the Tahoe where I don't really want to go any further with it. Either I'm going to like do a crazy motor swap, do airbags, you know, full suspension, like everything that I can throw at it, or I'll sell it as is, let somebody enjoy it for what it is, because I don't really feel like cutting that thing up and like bastardizing it. And,
right.
You know, it's a perfectly capable daily driver and it's in great shape. I was thrilled this weekend. I found my paint gauge meter that I bought like 2 years ago, and I hadn't been able to find it, but I found it in a box with a bunch of shit, like all the lights, all the bulbs and stuff that I installed on the Tahoe this weekend. And I was certain that the truck had been repainted, like mostly repainted.
Yeah.
And I checked every single panel, and the only thing that's been repainted as expected are the tailgate and the roof. And the roof, because the, you know, it came with a roof rack that was deleted.
Okay.
So that was shaved, and like they painted the roof, and the tailgate has been painted at some point, which honestly is not that big a deal. Right. And like everything else like checks out. It's like whatever it was, I don't even remember how many microns or whatever, but the entire fucking truck is original paint. And I thought as much, but I also thought like, you know, there could be some Bondo, there could be some, you know, some touch ups or some respray somewhere, but no, everything is original paint. I was thrilled.
That's awesome. Damn, that's fucking sweet. Yeah. I'm going to segue into our last segment because we're not doing questions tonight because we saved them for the upcoming Mr. Tony Angelo podcast. Mm-hmm. I screenshotted all your questions, so everybody who asked, don't worry. Thank you for doing so. I'm going to pose a question to you as I go grab another beer because I finished my Russian River Blind Pig, which was delicious. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I think I closed the window, the document that had the actual, I got it open.
I did too.
I had the wording of it. Who is someone you think is doing an amazing job in your industry right now? So you can saddle the wheel industry and the automotive other side industry, automotive entertainment. You could single out. I have a thought for you because we even talked about them the other day, but I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
Yep.
But
I think that's the low-hanging fruit, and now we can talk about it more freely, but we alluded to our buddy Vin from Hoonigan and like his latest pickup, his 997 GT3.
That's not who I was talking about, but keep going.
Oh, shit. Well, that's you can text me another suggestion, but no, like Vin is somebody that's been in the industry and at Hoonigan for a long time, and he's been grinding, and he's just like, he's like the king of flipping cars, like beyond the scope of his job at Hoonigan, which is basically to sell into all the programming and basically find sponsorship to fund all of the programming and all of the events and everything that they produce. Like, he's just like, you know, a really laid back, chill enthusiast. But he's got great taste and he's got expensive taste. And, you know, currently he's got an NSX, an E90 M3. He's got his 997 GT3 and a Gen 1 Raptor. Plus a couple, he's got an E30 wagon that he bought in Germany. And
E36 like, wagon, right?
No.
It was E30. Okay.
And he's got two E36s, one that's going to be built as a track special with a huge fucking horsepower LS.
Oh yeah.
Also built by Smetting Performance, and an E36 coupe that's just going to be his like yard like party car. So, you know, he's got like this somewhat wide-ranging, you know, array of cars, but you know, Vin is the homie and he's just like so chill and laid back and like, you know, he doesn't take any of this shit for granted. Like, he's worked hard and he's earned everything that he has, and we have this shared garage space together, and I love like driving my fucking bullshit Chevy truck in and seeing his, you know, some of his cool shit in there. And yeah, man, he's, you know, he's got a stressful, high pressure job, and he's doing the most, man. I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him. Wow. And, you know, that, there's so many more, but he's the first that comes to mind. And like, I know he struggles just like I do, and I'm sure you do, and a lot of us in the industry do, struggles with balancing pride and, you know, sense of accomplishment with being a douchebag. Like, hey, look at me, look what I've got, you know, but
yeah,
it's like,
yeah. No, yeah, right. I get it. Yeah.
But, you know, I tell him all the time, dude, you should be proud. Like, you know, you accomplished that. You set goals. And yeah. You know, all of his shit is super fucking clean too. That's yep. You know what I love.
Like, even his home garage is like fucking dope.
Yeah, dude. So I'm just like, yo, man, like you did this shit. You earned your way. You paid your way. You know, you didn't fuck it up. Like,
don't suffer from the imposter syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we all do, and it's easy to say don't. But
yeah, totally.
You know, I feel like, you know, our generation, we don't really have a precedent for what we're doing. You know, this is definitely not what any of our parents or grandparents would have imagined for us.
No, I don't know. My dad was a TikTok star.
Your dad is from the future. Your dad's
he was in the Navy.
You're not going to understand this, but your kids will.
No. My dad. Yeah. In 1980, my dad was doing Fortnite dances. He was way ahead of his time. Gotta tell you. He was in Desert Storm. He was in Desert Storm running the CIC in the bottom of the USS Long Beach, which that last sentence is all true. but everything I'm about to say is not. My dad was in the Navy. You're 100% right. This is ridiculous that we're able to do everything related to what we do. Yes.
10, 15, 20 years old. There's no way you, me, Ben, Matt Farah, Johnny Lieberman, there's no way any of us in like our like group of friends and kind of cohorts in this industry could have known that this is a career path, you know?
Right.
Like our parents, probably most of our parents supported us, but this was uncharted territory. And, you know, you didn't aspire to be a YouTube journalist or YouTube star or a podcast host or like, you know, I always loved cars and wheels, but I didn't ever think that I would be able to design wheels for a living. Like I didn't know that existed until I was 18, 20 years old. So, you know, I feel like we all should give each other a break and kudos and pats on the back and just like, hey man, like,
yes,
we're doing it.
That's a good, you know what? That's actually a decent segue into the person that was my answer for the same question. It was in refresher, just because you had a great, eloquent, long answer and people have short attention spans. The question was, you know, we're ending the podcast on a high note, celebrate someone else in the industry who's doing something awesome. And you said, you know, people didn't think you could do this and this and that. And I didn't grow up reading all the car magazines. So I didn't worship at the altar of David E. Davis. I didn't worship at the altar of Peter Egan and all these guys who are.
What is worth, I did.
Right. Amazing writers and maybe some jokes that don't land today like they did then, but the writing was top notch, tip top, stellar. And there are people who grew up thinking like, that's the model. That's what I got to do. And today people are showing that's not the model.
Yeah.
We don't need that. We need different voices.
I thought I wanted to be an automotive journalist, like a straight up published automotive journalist until I found out how much they made. And like, you know, guys like David E. Davis, honestly, like, skewed the perception. It was just like, this is like a super dapper, like gentlemanly dude.
There's
like
a handful,
you know, like bespoke suits and shit. And like, you know, he just like, you know, you only saw like his like headshot basically at his, you know, at the top of his editorial,
but mustache.
He just like, he seemed like a real classy, like put together dude. And like that, he was one of my first influences as far as like car journalism and just like, just enthusiasm. Him, Gene Jennings, who succeeded him, I think, as the editor-in-chief of Automobile back in the 90s. Like, they just, like, they were super talented, and I recognize that. And, like, I feel like I personally, and I'm sorry to derail you, but,
please keep going.
Like, I learned how to write, and I'm a pretty good writer, which I don't take advantage of. I learned how to write by reading car magazines. And, like, my English teachers throughout my school career were always just, like, you're a really great writer. You're a much better writer than you are a speaker. Like, you should lean into this. And
you know, now you're on a podcast.
I didn't do that. Yeah. I fucking threw that shit out the window. Like,
oh, that's funny shit. That actually is funny shit. No, I think a lot of those early guys benefited from the fact that money was a bit different back then.
Sure.
And then they had access to avenues because some of them continued on and some of those, the ones who are still alive, are actually doing like a handful of them are doing insanely well, like to a wild degree. And I think there is some degree. Sorry, my wife is texting me about our foster dog situation because she's about to go to bed. It almost rings true today where some of the voices, you're like, man, no, oh, that's so great that so-and-so is doing this. And the path I'm about to go down, what I'm about to say is I'm not denigrating anybody who's gone this way because of some of them are my friends. Anybody who you're like, oh man, wow, that's so good. How they do that. The amount of people in this industry who have fucking trust funds will blow your mind.
Sure.
Not me. I just said my dad was in the Navy for nearly 20 years. Right. I was lower middle class growing up. Yeah.
Journalists and photographers.
It's wild. Because
when you get access at a young age and you have access to equipment also.
And you can comfortably fail is a great way to put it. If these 100%. People failed, right. there's a trampoline to bounce them back up. I moved to California and I was eating dollar store food, shit, you know, and then I was a bartender and then I did this. And I'm not saying this because I'm now like the dude, like you need to construct pylons and have Lamborghinis and libraries. Like I'm not rich by any means, but I was able to, now my wife and I, we have a house in Orange County, mostly because of her, she's the bread. I'm still not the breadwinner, but like, you know, I got a few project cars and I'm having some fun
have access to a Porsche Targa GTS.
But again, outside. It's not mine.
No, it's not yours, but you have access.
These keys say Porsche on the back of them, but look, it's a little Porsche. And then the more important keys next to it are the Jag and it's funny. Does anybody else do this? I wonder, because I have a magnetic key ring on this bit of metal right here, because this is my desk in my garage. And my keys, the two cars I own, always go on the same key rings. And the two, there's an order. Like Montero gets spot number one. It has earned spot number one and it will forever. And Jag gets spot number two and press cars get down the list. Weird segue, but
my keys are all in a bowl and I struggle with grabbing the right keys. Sometimes I'll walk all the way across the street to the parking garage and look down.
No,
motherfucker. I got to go all the way back. I got the wrong fucking keys. Like they all have
a magnetic key ring, man.
They all have unique keychains. I just need to open my eyes and take the 2 seconds it takes to look at what you have in your hand.
Okay. Fair. Okay, so who I was going to say I wanted to spotlight in this episode of this new thing that hopefully becomes a thing. We're not going to do it with guests because we're not going to take up their time and ask them to do it. But when it's just Ron and I, occasionally I'm going to pop this out and force us each – not force us. That's a bad way to say it. But get us to talk about other people, which is a trait that I think – because I'm diverting here. But one of the things I've tried to do over the last – 10 years is talk about myself less. And that sounds like, of course, blah, 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 blah. Why? What do you mean? Talk about it. Because when you meet people and you're talking about people and you haven't seen people in a while, you just start talking about yourself a lot. So, and the weird thing is, here's the shitty part. It comes from a line from a Macklemore song. And the name of the song is Sloan, which is... my daughter's name. It was the song he created for his daughter when he's telling her all these things. So like make fun of Macklemore all you want, but in that particular song, it's a lesson to his daughter, like all these lessons. And one of the lines is talk about yourself less. And that line stuck with me because, you know, the first thing I do, like, oh, I was just driving. And again, this podcast is all about, oh, I was driving. That's the point of the podcast. But when I'm just talking and hanging with people, I want to talk about myself less. So this point of the podcast, the roundabout way of my now nearly drunk ass saying, by the way, before we started, I had 2 tequila drinks too. Circling around, feel in the flow.
Didn't have to offer that up. Okay.
Got to throw it out. The person I want to spotlight today is Victoria Scott at The Drive because she ran she's been doing amazing content for a while now. She's now full-time at The Drive. This prior weekend, she ran a Twitch stream to raise money for the trans cause in Texas, which is just fucking crazy. I don't care what your politics are. And if you disagree with us on this side of it, stop listening to the podcast.
Yeah, that's cool. Peace.
Right. Yep. Peace. 100%. Bye. Don't have any hesitations or reservations about saying that. Thank you. Not thank you. Fuck off. Yeah. So she did a stream. She was, her goal was to play, I forget which Need for Speed it was, but she's playing one of the older Need for Speeds, and she wanted to beat the game. And I guess there's like some challenging levels. Her Twitch stream goal, and this is like her first Twitch stream or something like that, was $1,000. She raised, I think it's over $42,000.
Sick.
$42,000 for an amazing cause that is, I mean, obviously incredibly important to her, incredibly important to just the world at large. And when I read human that number,
beings, especially
headline,
those in Texas whose rights and livelihood
kids,
are
kids who don't know
friend.
What they're doing, kids who are thinking about committing suicide because they don't know, 100%. You know, like just what the fuck is wrong. And it's so wild to me. I wanted to point it out. She's an amazing photographer. Her writing is great. And then she played this game for 15 hours. and she initially thought her goal was $1,000. And people chimed in and sat with her and did it. So Victoria Scott, like, hats off. I asked her if I was hoping that it was still open to donate. The specific chat, the link isn't open to donate, but you can still donate. Like, look up the charity. I'm going to look it up because it's worth finding out what the charity was. So I don't say it wrong here. So give me one, everybody bear with me here because I don't want to get this wrong because it's worth figuring this shit out. So she played Need for Speed Underground. She raised $43,605 for trans rights. And I'm trying to find the name of the charity so that if you were interested in donating, you could do the same. This tripled the grant budget for Southern Equality's Family Assistance, southernequality.org. There you go. Telling a story about the LGBTQ South. So if you wanted to donate, I'm going to donate. I didn't donate during her stream because I missed her stream. And so I'm going to donate when I get off of this podcast. The window is still open. I'm not just saying this for fucking clout or whatever. That's bullshit. I'm going to throw in, I'll do $100 of my own money. I'm, like I said, I'm not a wealthy man, but I'm going to toss down $100 real quick for this charity, for these people. Yeah, I had to shout her out. It blew my mind when I saw that number. It blew my mind.
I think that's the perfect example of the automotive community coming to support their own, even if they don't align entirely with the lifestyle, the, you know, politics, whatever it might be. Like, I've never seen anything bring people from differing backgrounds and lifestyles and, you know, just mindsets together like cars have. Like, I can have a conversation with somebody that would otherwise hate my guts and, like, you know, hate everything that I stand for. But when we talk about cars, we find a common ground and break down barriers and just like, I'm a human being just like you are. We have similar interests. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different fucking places, but we have so much in common that when you love something so passionately and you're just so involved in something and it brings you such joy, it breaks down so many societal barriers that you have to recognize the power in that. And yeah. I think that's the perfect example. Like, I wish I had known about that because I can't stand watching people play video games.
Yeah,
like, but you would. I don't really understand Twitch, but like, I totally would have jumped on that and contributed, you know, at the time while she was playing like that.
You know what?
Like, and that sounds fucking cool.
It's amazing.
No matter the cause, but
right.
Because it has such a relevant and necessary cause, like, I totally would have been all over that. I got to check out the drive more. We've got a few friends over there that.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jalopnik 2.0 at this point. So.
Yeah. But like, I just forgot about it, and I don't check in as often as I should.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, give it a, I mean, they're big, and they're only getting bigger. So, yeah. All right, that's where we're at this week. We got Tony Angelo coming in next week. We drank a little bit. We crashed a
The
little bit. Not we the computers. The computers crashed a little
Boy,
bit.
I hope we don't have the issue that you had a couple weeks ago.
No, we'll be fine. I know what the issue was,
Legit.
so we'll be fine. I we got the whole show. I'm not stressed about it, especially because we started the second show where the other time we tried to restart it, and I think that fucked with the files, and but I still got it sorted even then. So we
Yep.
should be good. Everybody listening, if you are listening, I'm going to say today, pretending you're listening on St. Patrick's Day, I want you all to go out, have fun, and be safe.
Totally.
And get
First and
fucked up.
foremost,
And get fucked
get fucked up.
up.
Don't drive.